The Radio Hustle with Alexis Conran, enemy of the con man on Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I've got Lewis Malka here in the studio with me. We're talking about diamonds. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of diamonds. Remember, if you're about to buy a diamond ring, this is your chance to call and speak to an expert. The number here is 08444991000, or you can text TALK to 87222, or you can tweet us at Talk Radio or at The Radio Hustle, or tweet me direct at Alexis Conran. After 2 o'clock, if you're one of those people who's going to try and find some tickets to the Euros, you might want to stay tuned. Or if you like booking tickets to all the summer shows, the summer shows? What on earth are summer shows? The summer festivals. You know, all the big things where people stay in tents. I don't know why. I'm too old for that. But anyway, look, ticket scams are on the rise at the moment because, well, you remember what we all always talk about this show? Scammers know when there's a demand and they get busy. So watch out for those ticket scams. After 2 o'clock, we'll be talking all about them. So let's pick up where we left off. You were saying about people coming into the store and actually trying to spend. When it comes to diamonds, I think that people try and spend as much money as they can to get the biggest stone rather than to get maybe necessarily the prettiest one. Because it's all been drummed in that the size of the stone is important. The amount of money that you spend is important. Because the more money you spend, the more you love your partner.
Well, it's interesting because a lot more people that are coming in have done a lot more research and are a lot more educated.
Okay.
I think the market in the UK is very different to the market in America. In America, it's all, I want to get as much bang for my buck as I can. And in the UK, they're very much more focused on getting quality over size. And I love that about my clients because they've read up about it. They're looking around and they're seeing exactly what they can get. As far as spending 2-3 months salary on an engagement ring, which is, again, genius, created by De Beers. I think it was the 80s where the 3 months came about.
Yeah, they upped it. It's funny, they started with 1 month, yep. Then went to two, then went, oh,
it must have been the state of the market
three.
At the
yeah,
time.
Exactly.
But it is just the marketing thing from De Beers. And the advice I give to my clients, spend as much as you can afford. You don't want to start married life in debt.
Absolutely not.
No, absolutely
not. But
what's
even fascinating, and I mean, we don't need to get into that, but, you know, the idea of giving a diamond ring as an engagement wasn't present at all in our history. I mean, it wasn't a custom at all at the turn of the 20th century. It was something that's been totally invented. And yet I know there's young men and old men and people of all ages listening into this show, having been through the fact that, oh, I want to get engaged. Oh, I need to get a diamond ring.
Yep.
And David is our producer today. He's nodding away. He spent money on an engagement ring. Actually, no, you did a family ring, didn't you? Wise man. But I know there's people who are listening to this knowing that they kind of fell into this quote-unquote tradition that was totally created by the people trying to sell you stuff,
it's
which is extraordinary.
The third largest purchase that someone's likely to make behind a house and a car.
House and a car.
So it's a very emotional purchase
so
as well.
On average, how much do your clients spend on an engagement ring? What are the price ranges?
I mean, there's different demographics of clients that I've got, but for me personally, starting off, would probably be around about the £2,500 mark.
Okay.
Which for a lot of people is a lot of money.
So that is a lot of money. That is a lot of money. And they'll go up to?
Well, are the Inland Revenue listening? I don't know. What will it go up to? The most expensive engagement ring I've ever done was just under £400,000. So
shut the front door.
Yeah, that was
how much?
Yeah, just under £400,000. That was for a professional footballer.
I'm
and
speechless.
I had the hump with him because I said to him, you're meant to spend 3 months' salary, not a week's salary. And he told me where to go.
I'd be paranoid to wear that if I was having to wear it.
It's funny
because anyone would give me an engagement ring, but
well, in the book that I've written, I've put some tips there because a lot of celebrities now, especially with Instagram, which for me is amazing because I show lots of pieces that I've made in the workshop and that clients are proposing with. A couple just proposed last weekend in Venice and I made the ring and I've got their photos on Instagram and Facebook with him actually proposing. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, and scammers looking at that going, yeah, I know we're a nice, big, valuable ring in. I know they're in Venice. Great.
There we go. So people are looking at celebrity engagement rings. And one of the chapters that I've dedicated there is how to get the celebrity look for less. Because just because they've spent £1 million on an engagement ring with a 5-carat diamond, for argument's sake, doesn't mean you can't get a similar look for maybe £3,000, £4,000. It's easily done if you know how.
Now, when it comes to the rings, what's kind of quite fascinating was we're always talking about the stone, but no one ever actually talks about the setting. Isn't that important? The actual ring. Forget the stone. But the ring, how it's sat on there, does that play a big part in the valuation of an engagement ring?
It does. There's different ways to have a ring. You can either have a ring that's handmade, such as the ones I make, and then you've got to take into consideration that I'll be sitting there for 10, 12, 15 hours, however long it takes to make that specific design of engagement ring. Or if you went into a shop where they've got castings that are all mass-produced and they literally find a stone to plonk into the hole to set the stone, which takes maybe 15 minutes to put together all around. And those are normally going to be in all the multiples and the high streets where they'll do the same ring over and over and over again.
Why do you think it is... Why do you think that people are not spending money on the rarer stones? I mean, I can imagine that they become more expensive, but do you get people coming
such as emeralds?
Such as emeralds, rubies?
Okay, because the gentleman before was talking about emeralds being rarer, yeah. And especially Burmese emeralds, because lots of war going on in Burma, aren't there? So it's difficult to get really nice emeralds out of the mines there. I think we have to consider that an engagement ring is going to be worn for life, meaning day to day. And there's a scale of hardness called the Mohs scale, MOHS, which we use within the gemological industry. And it grades diamonds as number 10, as the hardest natural substance.
Okay.
And where you've got emeralds that will sit at number 7, anyone who's wearing an emerald, sapphire, ruby engagement ring right now, if they have a look at the ring in the light and they see the top facets, they'll notice that there are some scratches or some slight chips in that from wearing it day to day. And you really want your stone to look at you and to sparkle, to be winking back at you. You want that scintillation in there.
Oh, you're such a seller, I can tell. It's
double
winking
refraction
back
of
at you.
Light coming through like a kaleidoscope of colours.
They're very durable diamonds,
yes.
Basically. They're very durable.
Extremely.
So where do you get your diamonds from? Because this is another thing I don't understand. I mean, you don't have to tell me if it's a sort of a secret, but the idea that people can't go directly to the source, I never like all that stuff because I think it's too controlled, which allows for what we've been talking about since the beginning of the show, of basically price fixing. You're able to control the price by controlling the supply. I can't go and buy a diamond at wholesale, whereas I can pretty much do that with most things in life.
You can get, well, you think you are, but you can get close to buying a diamond at wholesale. I'll tell you how. You see, you've got the diamonds that are mined, and they come out the mine and they're rough. Mm-hmm. And now since 2003, the Kimberley process was introduced, and that regulates how diamonds come out.
So what is the Kimberley process?
It's a process that came about, and it puts a stop, or tried to put as much of a stop as possible, to the dealing with illicit diamonds. Okay, so to stop, for layman terms, blood diamonds being dealt with around the world. Okay, as the gentleman from Petra was talking about, 99% of the diamonds come through. There's the small amount that are mined in countries, and in fact, there isn't really blood diamonds at the moment because there's no war going on in places like Sierra Leone, Republic of Congo. It's not happening. So the diamonds are coming through. They're in locked containers with special codes on. They go through and they get sorted. There are companies that will buy bucketfuls of rough diamonds and taking them on as parcels. And then from there, they go to smaller site holders and they get polished. Then they go to other site holders and it goes along the chain till people like myself can come along and buy individual stones from my suppliers. So my suppliers could be either in Antwerp, they could be in Tel Aviv, in Israel, they could be in New York. And those are my three main suppliers where I get my stones from. Okay. And then from there, they'll come to people like myself who are happy to deal in single diamonds to Joe Public. Now, in London, there is only one live diamond trading floor. So that's called the London Diamond Bourse. And it's in Hatton Garden. It's tucked away. But you'd be recommended to make sure that the person you're buying a diamond from is a member of or affiliated to.
So could I go there and buy a diamond directly off
you
there?
Can't go directly because it's a trading floor.
Right.
Okay, so it's an umbrella organisation that houses lots of small independent jewellers and diamond traders so that they're able to do all their trade under one big roof. So unlike the stock market where everything's on computer screen, here it's all physical goods on a day-to-day basis where they estimate about 85% of the UK's loose diamonds come through the door.
Through there.
Okay, so I'm fortunate enough that I'm able to get pickings at those. I can pass on the savings to my clients. And I also offer the clients the opportunity to have their ring designed and handmade for them. Turnaround time could be 2-3 weeks. Then they've got their ring, which they haven't paid retail prices for. They don't have that worry that they're overpaying for something, and they're able to get something that they love at a price that they want.
Okay, Lewis, stick with us. You're going to stay here in the studio with us because before the hour, I want your top five tips of if you're going to buy a diamond ring tomorrow, these are the things you should be looking out for. We'll be back straight after this break.